Nope. Okay. Open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And last Wednesday we were talking about praying for results. You know, we don't want to get caught batting the air without unbelief. We don't want to waste our time. You know, what we want to do is we want to get answers to our prayers. You know, you don't have to be a super preacher to get answers to your prayers. Every born-again believer can get answers to his prayers. If we'll take the keys that God has given us and put them in the right spot, we'll hit a bullseye every time. And you don't have to be perfect. I liked what my pastor used to always say. He said, God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. He just needs somebody to throw the stick. That's really basically all you got to do is just launch it out there. But we need to use the Word of God and use the name of Jesus and believe you receive when you pray. You do know by now that you don't get what you pray for. You get what you believe you receive. There's a big difference. If we got what we prayed for all the time, there would be nobody working. Honestly, we'd all be millionaires. But we get what we believe we receive. That's the kicker. That's the difference there. Now, one thing we found out is that the just shall live by faith. And if you're born again, you're the just. So our job is to live by faith. And we need to make sure that we build our faith. So where does faith come from, and how do we get it? If God told us that the just shall live by faith, then there's definitely a way to get this faith. He's given each man the measure of faith. See, when you get born again, you can't get born again without faith. And you heard somebody say something about Jesus, and that built faith in your heart because God put it there. So every man has some faith. Then when you get born again, he loads it up in there. But faith is like a muscle that if you don't exercise it, it's going to be weak and basically harmless. But if you do exercise it and feed your faith, it can move mountains. Literally, it can move mountains. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, last Wednesday, we discussed this. The right translation for that is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Some may say, well, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you what the difference is. The Ten Commandments is the word of God. It's holy, just, and true, but it won't build faith in your heart. It'll build fear and condemnation. That's what the law does to a man. Because a man, if he has any honesty at all, he'll know that he can't keep the law. So it'll build frustration and fear and condemnation in his heart. But if you hear the words of Christ, if you hear the words in the New Testament, if you hear those words, you hear those new creation realities about what Jesus has already done for you, who he is in you and who you are in him and what he's doing for you now, that builds faith and confidence in your heart. Just like the guys walking down the road on the road to Emmaus. They were kind of pouting along and they were sad and downbeat, and Jesus came down amongst them. But he concealed himself and he started talking to them. And then they got a revelation of who he was. And they said, didn't your heart burn inside you when he was talking to you? That's the words of Christ. That builds faith. That stirs your spirit. Now, go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So I heard a pastor one time, a guy came up for prayer, and the pastor said, we need to agree with this guy, which was fine. He said, this man has no faith. And I thought, what a terrible thing to say to a man. The guy lived. The guy lived. But I thought, man, that's a horrible thing to say. We have to understand that God has given us faith. What we do with that faith is going to be up to us. How we feed ourselves. Are we feeding ourselves on fear-filled words or faith-filled words? Are we feeding ourselves on the words from the world, or are we feeding ourselves on words from God? Here's the thing now. Once you have prayed in faith, you must hold fast to your confession. You have the answer. You got the answer from the Word of God. Now you have to maintain your faith by keeping your confession. What you say must be in line with the Word of God. The Bible tells us to hold fast your profession of faith. See, this is where a lot of times people drop out of the race. They'll get their faith built up, and they'll pray the prayer of faith. Maybe somebody will agree with them, and they'll pray the prayer of faith. And then after two or three days, they say, well, it didn't happen. I must not have did it right. And then they lose their confession. They change their confession. Who's been there? Be honest. We've all been there. You know? But here's the thing. Be prepared to stand forever, and it won't take very long. But you have to keep your confession the same. What happens if I slip up? You know, we do live by grace. God is a good God. He's a good God. He's not going to say, oh, you slipped up, start all over. No, get back on your positive confession. See, they do call this they call this Christian faith. They used to call it the great confession. Because you confessed your faith. And doesn't the Bible say if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Confess. Confession. God has a lot to say about the words of our mouth. He said that a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips. See, wherever you're going and you're talking, you know, you're sowing seed. And this is important to understand. You're a seed sower. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about the parable of the sower. And it tells us that the sower sows the word. The sower sows the seed. The seed is the word. The word is the seed. You go about sowing seeds wherever you go. So if you've been harvesting cockaburs, you might consider praying for a crop failure and getting some good seeds out there. Amen? You can start over. You can repent and start over and start sowing good words into your life. You know, stop running around saying, I'm just so broke and so tired, I don't know what's going to happen next. Something's going to happen and you ain't going to like it. It's just as easy to say, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, as it is to say, I'm broke, so broke I can't pay attention. But the devil has snookered people into these cute little sayings. You know, we start hearing them when we're little. And everybody acts like it's cute, a cute thing to say. If they only knew just how devastating the words of their mouth can be, they would stop saying that stuff. Words carry power. Look over to James chapter 2, verse 17. See, we have to understand now that our words have power in them. They can be positive power, they can be negative power. But there's power that you unleash with your tongue. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So faith words must be backed by corresponding action. We act by faith, not according to our feelings or reasonings. Words and action. It took me the longest time to figure this out. But finally I realized something in the Bible. When something big happened, somebody did something before it happened. And I was trying to get my mind right about this. I was trying to see what in the world was going on here. But I realized the blind man with the coat, and Jesus come walking by and asked him, said, what is it you want me to do for you? And he said, I can see. And he said, well, come here. He threw his coat away. See, he believed he received before he even got to Jesus. Or he wouldn't have threw his livelihood away. That was a significant coat. That wasn't just a warm coat. That was a coat that let everybody around him know that he was a beggar. That was part of the law. They had to wear these special coats in order to beg. He threw his livelihood away before he seen anything. And then he walked over to Jesus and he got his eyesight. But he believed he received before he saw anything. He didn't just start seeing and throw his coat away. That's not the way it worked. The woman with the issue of blood, she said with her mouth that she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. She believed it so much that she was willing to put her life on the line, because the people around Jesus at that time, you see, the ruler of the synagogue was down there. There were Pharisees and scribes down there that knew the law. And it was illegal for her to come in contact with them, to the point she could be stoned for it. So she knew the total risk of everything, but she knew that she was going to be healed if she could touch the hem of his garment. How did she come up with that idea? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard about somebody coming in contact with Jesus and getting healed. See, that's how we get faith, is by hearing the word. Sometimes we have to hear it and hear it and hear it before it finally sinks in. But it's okay. God didn't say that you got to be in a hurry. He said just build your faith. Sometimes people, I'm really shocked, kind of, at Christians that get born again and 5 or 6 months later they show up and they say, I cannot understand why I can't figure this out. I say, well, honey, join the crowd. We're all going to learn. We're all going to keep learning until Jesus completes our redemption. I mean, we're going to spend an eternity learning about God. We're not ever going to catch up to Him. But here's the thing. When you got into first grade, did you all of a sudden know algebra? Nobody did. So why do you think you're going to know everything in the Bible in 5 months? But the important thing is to just keep stepping forward. Keep moving forward. Keep hearing the word. Keep reading the word. Keep listening to the word. Keep learning. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That can be kind of a tricky verse, but everything was made by the Word of God. Everything that we see has atoms in it that's made from the Word of God. God spoke everything into existence. There's nothing that we see that hasn't been made by God. Now, some of it has been twisted by the devil, but it wasn't originally. Have you seen anything twisted by the devil? Next time they start talking about Congress or Senate, you look on TV and see a bunch of stuff twisted by the devil. The thing about faith, it is based on eternal truths. You need to keep your heart fixed on the Word of God. See, Peter, this is one of the coolest things. He was walking on water. They were in a storm out on that boat, and Jesus come walking out there, and Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come out on the water to you. And Jesus said, it's me, come. You know, there was 12 disciples in that boat. All 12 of them heard that word. Only one of them jumped out of the boat. He walked on water. Too many people focus on him sinking. But here's the thing. As long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. But when he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the wind and the waves, he started sinking. See, in John, the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and Word was God, and Word was with God, Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld, and we called him Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will walk by faith and we will win. We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We'll walk over sickness. We'll walk over poverty. We'll walk over our challenges. But what would be wind and waves? Bills? Kids? Jobs? Economy? Government? Those are wind and waves. Those are wind and waves, but the Bible tells us if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to walk on that water. You're going to walk through your troubles. And that's walking by faith. Did it say anything about it being easy? No. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. It means trouble. In this world, you will have troubles. But be of good cheer, he's overcome the world. So you can have joy in the midst of trouble. You can have joy in the midst of trials. Look at Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Yeah, Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Now this is in red. So that's very, very significant. I mean, it's Jesus talking. And one thing you have to understand is Jesus cannot lie. He cannot lie. He never could tell a lie. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If God will answer the prayer of a sinner to be saved, he will certainly answer the prayers of born-again believers who come to him in faith concerning their lives. Sometimes we got to just think some of these things through. If God will hear the prayer of a sinner, he'll definitely hear the prayer of a saint. I mean, he had to... You got to know that before you got born again, you was a sinner. I don't care how rosy you lived your life. You was a sinner before you got born again. Amen? Just because you got Adam's blood coursing through your veins means you were guilty. But he heard your prayers and you got born again and you became a saint with a whole new covenant with the name of Jesus. How much more will he hear your prayers now? Amen? Not only that, but you became his favorite kid. You know how I can say you're his favorite kid? Because he put his favorite kid on the cross to die for you. Amen? He treated his son the way we deserve to be treated, so that he could treat us the way his son deserved to be treated. That's pretty much partiality right there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now here's the thing you have to understand about doubt. Doubt operates in the mental realm. God's word operates in the spiritual realm. See, we have to refuse doubt. That's those ideas. You know, when you decide you're going to stand on the word of God and you pray the prayer of faith and everything is good, till about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning you're laying there in bed and all of a sudden you wake up and your heart's pounding. And there's this idea that God didn't hear your prayer. Or this idea that maybe since that same pain is still there, that you didn't get your answer. Or maybe because you didn't get the money today, that it's not going to come. That's those bad ideas. Those are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. See, one thing about the devil, he has no access to your spirit whatsoever. He cannot touch your spirit in any way, shape, or way. But he can mess with your mind. He shoots these fiery darts at us. That's those bad ideas. That's those thoughts that start causing doubt. You know, you start thinking, you know, maybe I didn't do it right, or maybe I should have did this different. Did he really hear me? I know that that's the same pain. Did I really get healed? That's when you have to fight those thoughts off with the word. Too many people try to fight thoughts with thoughts. You know, they'll try to think positive. And then they're just playing mental basketball with themselves. 1 minute they're up, 1 minute they're down, 1 minute they're up. But if you'll take that thought captive in the name of Jesus, cast it down, and start speaking the word of God to that thought will go away. And then guess what happens? Because you've been speaking the word of God, God's thoughts come crashing in. And then you're back online again. Peter jumped out of the boat. He was stepping out of that boat. He had to fight some stuff off, don't you think? The waves were there. You know, he had to see the waves before he jumped out of the boat. But he had to fight that off in the spirit, not the natural forces. Don't allow doubt or fear to enter your conscience. See, that's the, you know, there's three hideous horsemen in the spiritual realm. I call them doubt, fear, and unbelief. See, you'll hear the word of faith, and the devil will shoot a dart to try to get you in doubt. He can get you in doubt, kind of wondering one way or another about the word you heard or about the prayer you said. Then maybe if you feed on that doubt just a little while longer, he can get you into fear. And if he can get you afraid, if he can get you into fear, then he can get you into unbelief. Which is basically, he threw that dart at you and got you to thinking about it and rolling it around in your mind a little while and started getting you afraid. And then pretty soon you just say, well, no, I did it wrong. He didn't hear me. Maybe it's not his will for me to be healed. Any kind of number of excuses. That's unbelief. Amen? That's why you got to fight doubt at the very first time it pops its ugly head up. We need to have our minds right. But it's one thing to say that. But what if I told you the key to that? Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. See, that's one really neat thing about the Bible is it always has the answer and it always shows us. So if it tells us to cast these thoughts down, get rid of them, then we got to have something to replace that thought. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Literally, don't be anxious over anything. Didn't we just talk about doubt, fear, and unbelief just a little bit ago? Right here it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we want? At 2 o'clock in the morning when we start worrying about stuff? Want peace. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's how we get peace in our souls. That's how we get peace of mind. You know, there's a lot of people that are looking for peace of mind, and they know, even Christians that are so shook up in life, they don't have peace, so they run to the doctor, and the doctor says, these pills will give you peace. So what they do, they take these pills and it masks the symptoms. And they have peace for a little bit. But then it finally wears off. And then pretty soon they have to take more. And then they have to take different. See, they're just covering symptoms. Real peace is going to come from Jesus. And actually, it's not peace, brother. It's shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. That blessing of God completely overtaking you, saturating you, filling you up, causing everything that was wrong to be made right. That's what Jesus was saying. He would say shalom. That's what he wanted everybody to have, was the fullness of God. Remember, that's what he said. He said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. You should go study what that word shalom means. And then next time you run into a Jewish person and they say, shalom, receive it. Take it. Amen? because they just blessed you in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. You take care of us. You take such good care of us. You bless us in ways we don't even know. You protect us. You feed us. You take care of us. You clothe us. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. We thank you for everything that he is doing for us right now as our high priest, interceding for us. And we thank you for Holy Spirit, who he sent to us to teach us and guide us and be our ever-present help in trouble. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right.